Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everybody? Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 Mountain. Your boys are back. Lee and Keys, Real Talk. And we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about what we thought of the Mayweather-Floyd fight. And we're going to kind of explore what Daniel Cormier said about that fight. And then we're going to take a deep dive into UFC 263, which is this weekend. Man, this is a super – I call it a super card because basically you got like three title fights. You got Adesanya versus Vettori 2. We got Figueiredo Moreno 2. And then we got Leon Edwards taking on the highly entertaining Nate Diaz. The undercard is actually pretty stacked. We're going to talk about our sleeper fight, which fighter that we're going to have our eyes on, and then we're going to make our predictions for this super card. But let's just go ahead and jump into it, man. On this past Sunday, we had Floyd Mayweather taking on Logan Paul in the 8-round, quote-unquote, exhibition fight. It went all 8 rounds. A lot of people were saying that, Logan Paul should be happy with his performance because he didn't get knocked out. He survived all 8 rounds. And Daniel Cormier even went to the extent of saying that Logan Paul was the big winner. He said something to that effect. Keys, did you see the fight?
Yeah, well, your man said, well, first of all, I didn't see the fight. I only saw really like the first round, I think, because I had to watch it. So my cable box like was giving me issues, and like with Xfinity, for some reason, I was trying to order it the Noble way, and they wouldn't let me purchase it. It kept saying that I had to call customer service. Then I tried to call them, and that didn't work out. Then I couldn't order it. So then I was like, okay, let me try to find a stream. So I went on Twitch. Pretty much every stream I tried to get everywhere kept getting shut down, or I would be on it, and it was just like really in and out or bad quality. So, no, I only saw the first round of the fight. So I missed the other 7 rounds of the fight, but I think I could give you a recap of what happened without even having a thought.
Okay, I'm listening.
So basically, what happened was this. First of all, to your point, your man DC said, and I have to bring it back to this because you just said it, And we used to criticize DC a lot on the show. We kind of got away from criticizing DC, but I think now is probably an opportune time to get back to criticizing DC. So case in point, here we go. So DC had the audacity to say, once again, he had the audacity to say something. Now this is the next edition of that. He said, bad look for Floyd. Something on his Twitter ended with, that is a bad look for Floyd. And what he meant was, to give that context if you didn't see it, he was saying the fact that Floyd went the distance with the YouTuber, that he allowed him, and didn't knock him out, that was a bad look for Floyd. And I said to myself, man, really? That's a bad look? How? Because the guy came in, Floyd weighed in at 155 pounds. This is the thing that I don't understand with you guys. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody said anything about it. I'm so confused about why this was even allowed. I'm lost. I'm completely lost here. I really hope they don't do this with my boy Keywood's fight, but that's for another story. The man came in at 155. The other guy came in at 189. Logan Paul was 189. 189 pounds he was. So he was 34 pounds. Floyd is actually pretty small. He probably was close to 155 even once he gained the water back. Logan Paul was probably over 200 pounds in that fight. He only weighed in at 189. He might have even been like 210 in there when you really look at him. You could see the size difference. He looked like a monster in there, clearly. But not because of his boxing skills. Just because of his size. He didn't look like a monster in terms of his boxing skills. Like I said, I didn't see the fight, but I could tell you this is what happened. Logan Paul, what I saw in the first round, he was already tying Floyd up. Every time they would really get into an exchange, he was holding Floyd. He's a bigger guy, so he's much easier. He's able to hold him. It's hard for Floyd to get away from him once he's in the clinch. So Logan Paul was probably tying him up a lot to try to stop Floyd. Floyd was probably a lot faster than him. You could probably see the difference in speed. You could obviously see the difference in technique, the difference in skill level, the difference in experience. I think Logan Paul was probably shadowboxing in there. If I would have had seen the fight, I would say, wow, he's really shadowboxing in there, basically. He was pretty much fighting floating carbon dioxide. You know, he was fighting against floating carbon dioxide when you look at it. And Floyd was nowhere to be found. Logan Paul was throwing punches, wearing himself out. He probably looked exhausted by the third round, if I had a guess. And like I said, I didn't see the fight. But if I had a guess, he probably threw himself out in the first two rounds, expecting that he was going to knock out the best boxer ever. Then it didn't happen. Going to the third round, and third, fourth round, Logan Paul probably looked exhausted. You know, all that extra weight on him, too. You know, he's throwing those heavy hands. He probably looked exhausted. And then Floyd was probably still nowhere to be found, landing all sorts of shots on him. Logan Paul didn't even know where he was getting hit from. And that's pretty much it. The fight went the distance, and Floyd made another $100 million. So that's pretty much the recap.
Close. Very, very close. I think the biggest thing was Floyd wasn't in shape. You could tell that he probably trained, but he didn't train as if he was going to be fighting Manny Pacquiao or somebody like that. I think Floyd, like the first two rounds, you know, he carried Jake. I mean, Jake even got off, I want to say, in the second round. He was able to put like a wild combination together, but it really didn't hurt Floyd. As far as like Logan, it's Logan Paul. Yeah, Logan Paul. You could tell that he was just trying to get to the eighth round. His corner started saying that between the third going into the fourth round, it was like, hey, we got four more rounds to go. We got three more rounds to go. La, 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 la. He used the same game plan Fury used against Wilder. Get him against the arm. Every time you get close, lean on him, you know, push him down, stuff like that. The fight was very, very boring. It was almost laughable, to be honest. Everybody was talking about how good Chad Johnson looked in his fight. His fight was horrible. I don't know what fight everybody was watching, but the fight that I saw, it was horrible. He was popping the jab out, and the guy made zero adjustments. His corner kept telling him, hey, we need you to do this. He wouldn't do it. And I was just like, man, this is terrible. Well, back to Floyd. Floyd, before the fight, they had a backstage interview with Floyd. And, you know, they asked him about coming back or whatever. And he was like, hey, man, I'm not a boxer anymore. I'm an entertainer. So, basically, that told me what kind of fight it was going to be. Floyd was going to carry him. And he was going to still get off a little bit. But it was very uneventful. The Conor fight was more exciting than that. And, you know, Conor is a UFC striker coming into the boxing world. And I don't think Floyd shut Logan out. I think Logan may have won the first and the second round. I know for sure he probably won the first. But do I want to see any more of this? No. But I do think we get Jake Paul versus Floyd next. If Jake Paul beats Tyron Woodley. Floyd is all about making that money, bro. Anything that's going to make him money and he probably ain't going to get hurt, Floyd is all about it, man. So, hey, once again, DC, bro, man, you need to pump your brakes, dog, like he said. Floyd was in there boxing. Floyd was in there out of shape. Floyd was in there to make money, which he did. Did Floyd take Logan Paul seriously? No. Now, did he take Conor McGregor seriously? Not in the beginning of the fight, but I think Conor earned his respect as the fight went on. But as the fight went on against Logan Paul, Floyd figured out this guy can't hurt me. He really can't punch. He really can't box. So I streamed it because I would have never, ever bought it. So I streamed it. And, you know, it was just something to watch.
Yeah, so
look,
basically.
Go ahead.
That's basic. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so basically, right, take a sip. Take a sip because you need it. You're going to need it. So that's strike two and three right there. Yeah, yeah. Take another sip. I hear you. Take another sip. He got like the watermelon Ciroc or something tonight. All right, so what you tried to say, everybody, what he tried to say was this, and I actually just poured a beer as you were saying that, just off the strength of you saying that. And you don't know what part I'm talking about yet, but I'm going to get to it. So first of all, Floyd didn't take the Logan Paul seriously, right? And, you know, the McGregor fight actually was a fight that was going on his record, win or loss, as far as I know. So I think that fight mattered to him a bit more because it was actually a legitimate fight that was going to count. So if he lost, it was going to be 49-1. It wasn't just going to stay 49-0. When he won, he went to 50-0. But for this fight, it was only an exhibition, and it was never going to go on his record, which is the same case as the previous fight he did versus that kickboxer over in Japan. That fight wasn't going on records either. If it was, he'd be 51-0 or at least 1-0 in kickboxing. But as far as I know, that was an exhibition too. I see Floyd continuing to do exhibitions, and we'll probably see more fights there. I don't think we'll see him fight Jake Paul anytime soon because Woodley's going to knock out Jake Paul, and it's going to be devastating, and all you guys are going to cry when it happens. But the reality of it is this, is that this is the first fight that Jake Paul actually has a guy that could break his face. It's the first time, it's the very first time he's fought a guy that can really break his face. He hasn't fought anybody that was a threat to him yet. And I think he was well aware of that. You knew Ben Askren couldn't move him. You know, Ben Askren was never even a striking style fighter. We all know that. So we all knew that fight was just a money grab. Ben Askren wanted to just make a quick million, you know, for him and his family. And I respect that. You know, there's really no problem with it. I mean, I personally don't know if I would do it, but who knows when you're in those shoes what you might do. Woodley, I think, has a better opportunity in breaking Jake Paul's face because that will actually propel him into more boxing fights. And he may even get into the boxing game. You know, I could see him getting, you know, a couple more fights after that. Break a YouTuber's face for a huge payday. Woodley will easily make over $1 million for that fight. Being a, you know, a much more relevant name than Ben Askren as far as the fight game overall. And, yeah, so you won't see the Floyd and Jake fight because Jake's going to lose his next fight. So that's I guess that was really the point that I wanted to make. Now let me sip my beer and wait for your rebuttal.
Well, I really don't have one, to be honest. to me, I'm serious. There really wasn't anything to analyze. I mean, Floyd was supposed to. I'm not a Floyd Mayweather fan. I'm not a fan of the man Floyd Mayweather. But the boxer Floyd Mayweather, he was in a lose-lose situation. If he knocks Jake Paul out, he's supposed to. If he wins, he's supposed to win. If he knock him out, he's supposed to knock him out. So what did Floyd really have on the line? Nothing. Unless he was to get knocked out or it was viewed as he lost. Then people would have something to say. But I just think Floyd was in a lose-lose situation. So, you know, he did what he had to do. And, hey, it is what it is. Once again, you know, I'm glad that, speaking of Floyd, that Woodley took Floyd up on his offer to train him. That was one of the things me and Keys talked about. If he get with boxing people, he has a chance of winning this fight. And he went out and got probably one of the best defensive fighters in the game of boxing. So that tells me that Woodley is taking this seriously and he coming to win. But enough about that, man. We got a big fight weekend this weekend. We got two championship fights, and we got a championship level fight as the co-main event. But look, man, which fight on the card do you have your eyes on? What's gonna be your sleeper fight?
I just want to say one thing, too, just before we get to it, real quick. I was playing UFC 3 last night, and I don't know if you play UFC 3, but I did a tournament. And, you know, I did a welterweight tournament. I picked some lightweights and some welterweights. You know, I knew from the beginning I wanted Kevin Lee to win because I still want to see Kevin Lee win, become a world champion at some point, whatever division it's in. I do want to see him become a world champion. I still think he can, but I knew I wanted him to win when I first picked him. And then the line of the murderous row of fighters that I had to fight to then win the championship, if you listen to it, was actually crazy. I had to fight. The matchups was almost like it was rigged against me. I had to fight Robbie Lawler in the first round. I beat him. Then I had to fight, GSP. Yeah, I had to fight GSP in the second round. I beat him, which was a crazy fight. Then I had to fight Whitaker in the third round, which was crazy again. And then in the championship, I had to fight Conor McGregor. So, and then I beat all four of them in a row, and I was in disbelief last night, staring at my TV screen like, man, what the hell just what just happened there? Like, I know some people are probably pros, and they're like, well, you were playing against a computer, but hey, look, I'm an average player, and I really don't care. I was playing a tournament, and the CPUs, if you don't come correct, will kick your ass. And especially when you get in tournaments and you put all the best guys, eventually you will lose. And it does happen, especially in the career mode too. But, yeah, I did the tournament mode, and I had to face off against those four names consecutively, and I beat them all as Kevin Lee. So I was pretty proud about that. I just wanted to put that out there. I still think my man Kevin Lee might, you know, I think he might have to snatch one of these title belts in the near future, whether it's the lightweight belt or the welterweight belt. I just would love to see it. So I'm just going to put that out there. And we have the same name. So he's a real one. You know, Kevin Lee, that's my dog. But yeah, UFC 240, Adesanya versus Vettori 2. This is a big weekend for Italy. This is a very big weekend. Well, it's a very big weekend for Keys because it's my birthday on Saturday. So it's already a very big weekend for me. I'm going to be turning 25. So that's already a big weekend. But it's also a big weekend for anybody who's from the country of Italy because you may have, I believe, there is a possibility to have, I believe, the very first UFC world champion from Italy, the very first Italian UFC world champion. There's a chance of it happening. You know, you have a 50-50 chance here to be the first world title UFC brought to Italy. So it's a big weekend, you know, if you're Italian or if your family, you still have family out in Italy, this is huge. So, yeah, it's going to be crazy. Nate Diaz fighting Leon Edwards. Figueroa is going to try to fight to win his title back against my boy Brandon Moreno. He's going to try to get that loss back from the previous fight. And, yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's a great card. And I'm really happy, Dana White. Thank you, Dana White, for putting together such a glorious, incredible main card for your boy Keys' birthday. I appreciate that, and I'm probably gonna have to send you a DM on Twitter, just thanking you, because I know you set that up on purpose on your boy's birthday, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Dana White, my president.
So after all of that, what's your sleeper fight of the night that we should be watching for?
I haven't even looked at the whole card. I only know who's on the main card. Off top, I really don't know. I haven't taken a look at the prelims yet. You want to give yours first?
I'm going to go with a guy that me and you both like, man. I like watching his fights. My man, Chase Hooper, Steven Peterson, man. I like Chase Hooper, man. It's something about this kid that when he fights, you just never know how it's gonna end. He's how old is my man? Oh, they don't even have his age up here. Okay.
I want to say he's like 24, man.
I know he's kind of young.
I want to say I think he's even younger than me, honestly. He might even be like 21, 22.
Yeah, he's 10-1-1. He's very lanky. I just like to watch his fights. I mean, you know, it's like some young fighters, you know what you're going to get, and then some young fighters, you don't know what you're going to get from fight to fight. And Chase Hooper is that guy. You know he's going to be in there. He's going to fight with heart, but you never know how his fight's going to turn out. And with that being said, I can't wait to see his fight. And he's on the early prelims. I want to say he's on the early prelims. Yeah, he's 10-1-1, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. So he got the rare skills. He's 4-1. Well, he's 2-1 in the UFC. He lost to Alex Caceres. He got dominated in that fight. I thought he was overthinking it, and I don't think his coaches helped him that very much in that fight. And then I want to say he was losing against this Barrett person that he fought in the last fight. And then he happened to get him to the ground and worked a pretty slick submission to win that fight. So, hey, I like watching this kid fight. So that's the fight I have my eyes on.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Chase Hooper, you know, to that point, I do hope Chase Hooper has worked on his boxing, because we all know that he's very talented once it comes to the mat. You know, he has great submissions. He's very strong, you know, once he can get you to the ground. But, you know, what we saw in that loss that he had was it was actually in his last win and his previous fight. So he actually lost in one fight because he got boxed to pieces. And then I want to say, I didn't see his last fight where he won, but I think he was getting boxed up in that fight too. And then he got like a late submission, I think. Like he was down. I think that's what happened. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So I'm excited to see him. Ben Askren Jr., a.k.a. Chase Hooper. You know, he has the same flow as Ben Askren, same pro. And I just hope he's worked on his boxing, because he was getting lit up in there, you know, the last couple times I saw him fight, and his boxing was atrocious. You know, you could tell that, you know, because of how skilled he is on the mat, he probably didn't feel like that he had to be that good of a boxer, but that's not true. You got to be able to survive versus guys. You know, what happens when you can't get them to the mat, you know, and they're stopping all your takedowns, you can't get them down. You know, what happens then? You're just going to lose every fight, you know, until you actually can have some decent striking. So I really hope he's worked on that. The dude, Steven Peterson, I don't really remember his last fight, but I want to say he's a savage. So I'm looking forward to that fight. You know, that's going to be good. You know, my sleeper fights for the early prelims, I got to X out of this. For the early prelims, there was a guy that came up off the Contender Series. Terrence McKinney. I think he's from Dana White's Contender Series. Is it? Oh no, I think he got taken on. No. He is on there. Yeah. So Frank Camacho. Okay, I got confused. Frank Camacho was supposed to fight Matt Frevola in that same fight, but Frank Camacho got into a bad car accident, I want to say last night. So he's in the hospital right now, as far as I know. So shout out to Frank. You know, I hope to see everything turn out okay. And I hope, you know, anybody who was involved is, I hope everybody heals up soon and everything turns out all right. You know, that was pretty scary when I saw that story last night that he got into a bad car accident. So they took him out of the fight with Matt Frevola. But now Matt Frevola is fighting this kid from Dana White's Contender Series, Terrence McKinney. I want to say he's fighting Terrence McKinney. I've never seen Terrence fight before, but I don't know anything about him because they don't even have his stats up, and I haven't watched his highlights. I just like that he's coming up all the contender series. This is part of, you know, I'm dipping into one of Lee's favorite themes is new blood here. I'm going with the new blood, and I'm really liking the fact that you got a contender series guy on this card, which is, you know, that's good exposure for him. So I'm hoping to see, you know, I'm just excited to see his skills. I'm excited to see what he's got. So, you know, I know Matt Frevola is a game opponent too, and I've seen many of his fights. You know, he's always going to come with it. And then Terrence McKinney, I'm looking forward to see that one on the early prelims. And then as far as the regular prelims, I like that I like that Eric Anders and Darren Stewart fight. You know, because Darren Stewart is basically like Woodley 2.0. You can't really tell the difference if they stand next to each other, who's who, pretty much. Darren Stewart's probably just a little bit taller. But when he had his beard grown out a little bit more, I feel like he looked just like my boy T. Wood. And I actually thought that T. Wood moved up to middleweight. I thought he put on some size. He started working on his traps a little bit more. And next thing you know, he was Darren Stewart, and he changed his name. I thought that was the case for some time, but I guess he's actually a different guy. So Eric Anders and Darren Stewart for the prelims. That's my other sleeper fight.
All right, check this out. So we got the sleeper fighter of the night. Now, which fighter are you going to have your eye on? Which fighter?
Overall, I'm going to have my eye on Jamal Hill, man. My boy Jamal Hill is coming up. He's fighting Paul Craig. I almost slept on this. This is on the main card. I'm going to have my eye on Jamal Hill, man. I think he's, you know, especially in a division like light heavyweight where you really don't have any consistent contenders. Like a lot of the guys who come up in light heavyweight, they might win a fight and then they look really bad the next performance. Or they might put a little win streak together, but then once they get to like the, you know, the cream of the crop and they're really fighting the champion or like, you know, the top five guys, they don't look so good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for example, Anthony Smith and Thiago Santos, you know, we saw them come up and they went on a win streak. And then, you know, now Thiago Santos really hasn't looked good in his last couple of fights. Anthony Smith has actually looked good in his last couple of fights, but we saw him go on a losing streak for a while there, and he did get dominated by Glover. But, you know, Jamal Hill is a fresh name in a otherwise lackluster light heavyweight division, and he's a beast, man. He's got a lot of power, and I'm interested to see, you know, what he brings into this fight with Paul Craig. This is his first big fight, first ranked fight.
Yeah, man. I got two that I want to talk about. So I'm going to just go to the top, man. I'm going with the champ, Israel Adesanya. I want to see, did he learn anything from the Blachowicz fight? In the Blachowicz fight, he couldn't get off his back when he was taken down. And Vettori is a guy that can take you down. So, if he gets taken down by Vettori, is he going to be able to fight off his back? Is he going to be able to mount some offense? Is he going to be able to get back to his feet? Because if he can't, I think Vettori has a chance to dominate him on the mat. Izzy looked really, really bad against Blachowicz. I thought it was a bad matchup for him from the get-go. I thought the UFC was trying to rush him to being a champ. And Blachowicz is just that good. He's not a one-trick pony. So if Vettori watched some of that tape, which I'm quite sure he did, he has to put pressure on Adesanya. And Adesanya, if you get taken down, can you get back up? That's what I'm going to be looking to see out of the champ. Did he learn anything from his last fight? Did he work on this, that problem that he suffered in his last fight? So I'm going to have my eye on Izzy Adesanya, bro. But I do like the Jamal guy, man. I do like the idea of fresh blood. And he is in the weak division right now. Light heavyweight is weak right now. You got Blachowicz fighting Glover Teixeira, who's about my age. And, you know, like you said, Santos, Reyes, Anthony Smith, all of them have basically have losses. You know, ain't either one of them on a win streak. So, hey, if Jamal, if he can put on a show or have a very nice performance, we'll have to see whether or not he gets in the top 15. And then if he gets in the top 15, maybe we can start talking about future matchups for him.
Who are you talking about getting into the top 15?
McKinney. Your guy.
Oh, yeah, my boy McKinney that I was talking about with, from the Contender Series. Yeah, I don't know too much about him, but I'm just interested to see him fight. That's pretty much where I'm at with that one. I just want to see what he's got, you know. I like seeing when they bring guys from Dana White Contender Series onto these, you know, high-profile cards. You know, give them that look. I think those guys deserve that, you know. And that's how you, I mean, keep it frank, that's how you make a star. You got to give someone a chance at some point. Yeah, you got to give someone a chance at some stage to show you, you know, what they're made of. So this is kind of one of those times, like, you know, if he comes out and let's just say, I'm not making any prediction, but let's just say he comes out and stops Matt Frevola, you know, in the first or second round. Or what if he comes out and he stops him in the first exchange? You know, then we're like, oh my goodness, now we're really watching him now. Now we're like, okay, cool, let's keep it going. And he's a lightweight, so that's even bigger for him. It's even more of a look because you're talking a lightweight bout on, you know, lightweight debatably the craziest division that we have, on probably you know maybe the biggest card of the year so far when you really look at it. I mean, that main card is. That's a tough main card. I mean, we've had some good cards. Yeah. This is a tough main card, man. I don't know what card beats this main card this year so far.
I totally agree. All right, man, let's jump into our predictions, man. Let me see how much time we get. We got like over about 20 or 25 minutes.
Let's just hit the main card.
Yeah, let's roll. All right, first fight on the main card, we got Paul Craig, 14-4-1, going against Jamal Hill. Paul Craig is a plus 240. Jamal Hill is a minus 300. Paul Craig fights with the orthodox style, and Jamal Hill is southpaw. Now, the biggest thing I see when I'm looking at this matchup is takedown accuracy for Paul Craig is 26%. Takedown average is 2.11, and submission is 1.46, whereas Jamal Hill has zero for all of those. So, who do you got, Jamal Hill or Paul Craig?
You know, this card is so, like, the whole main card has such, like, they're really not close fights. Like, when you really look at it, like, as far as the odds makers do not think that these are close fights, if you ask me. Like, you look at these odds, these are some widespread odds. You know, everybody's at least, like, a two-point favorite or a two-point underdog. Like, there's really no, besides Moreno, but he's just under. You know, he's a one plus 195, so. And, yeah, this is crazy. The odds makers don't got too much faith in these being competitive fights, I guess. But, I want to see Jamal Hill, but I want to see him win. But at the same time, now that you brought those stats out and me remembering, you know, how good Paul Craig is once he does get you down, you know, I think Paul Craig will win this fight. Probably is Paul Craig a submission guy? I want to say he is. Oh, let's see. 86% by submission. Okay. Yeah, I'm probably going with Paul Craig by submission, man. I think in the opening exchanges, I think, you know, Paul Craig does have good boxing too. I think Jamal Hill will be boxing him up, though, in the first round. Paul Craig will land a shot that then allows, you know, that space to open up for him to shoot for the legs. He takes him down. Once he takes him down, I think he'll keep Jamal Hill down for probably the remainder of the first round. They'll stand up on the feet again. They'll have another exchange. I think Jamal Hill, again, will look good in the striking, but now he's afraid, you know, of the takedown. You know, he's going to be watching for the takedown. And then he might even get caught with a shot because he's watching for the takedown. But then while he's rocked, he gets taken down by Paul Craig. And I think Paul Craig dominates him on the mat and gets a late second round submission.
I like it. I think Jamal Hill's his best chance of winning is he has a 3-inch reach advantage. I think what he has to do is he has to fight at distance. Use your 3-inch reach advantage. Keep the fight at distance. Make Paul Craig have to punch to get in because that's your best chance of catching him. But I'm with you, man. I think Paul Craig brings too much to the table. And he's a veteran. He has 19 fights compared to 8 for Jamal Hill. I'm going to go Paul Craig, man. I'm going to say late first round submission. Paul Craig beats Jamal Hill in the opening fight of UFC 263. We both got Paul Craig. The next fight on the card, we have, all right, come on, computer. We have Damian Maia, the veteran, taking on Bilal Muhammad, whose last fight was stopped due to an eye poke. Damian Maia is 28-10. Bilal is 18-3. Bilal is a minus 230 favorite. I'll go first on this one. Man, I think Damian Maia is one of the most boringest fighters in the UFC because he has zero stand-up game. He don't even look to strike. But you have to be able to protect yourself against the takedowns. If you have great takedown defense, there's nothing Damian Maia can do on his feet to scare any fighter in the UFC. In the Tyron Woodley fight, Tyron defended every takedown. And he won the stand-up game. That's why he won that fight. I think Bilal Muhammad has a chance in this fight, but he has to, imperative that he has great takedown defense. I hope he's been training on that because anybody that's a fan of the UFC and you know Damian Maia, he will shoot to the very end just to try to lock in the submission. Man, I want to go Bilal Muhammad so bad, but I don't think he can protect himself against Damian Maia's takedown game. I'm going to go with Damian Maia with a submission in the third round.
You know, this fight for me, I feel like these are, like, very much the same kind of fighter right here. It's like, to me, it's like Bilal Muhammad is pretty much like a younger version of Damian Maia, probably a little less boring of a style because he's not so deep. Like, Damian Maia is like such a like Brazilian jiu-jitsu master that he just wants to like be a human backpack for the entire fight. Like, Bilal Muhammad is not that deep into the jiu-jitsu. He's kind of like, you know, probably that level of, you know, probably a little bit less than that level of jiu-jitsu. He kind of is like a hybrid with the wrestling, though. Like, he kind of like jiu-jitsu mixed in with the wrestling, which is kind of what I like. And he tries to strike a little bit. I mean, I didn't see his last one. They said he was getting beat up pretty good versus Edwards. But, you know, he tries to do multiple things. He's not just, you know, one type of fighter. So I think Muhammad's going to win this one. You know, I think the reason why is I think Damian Maia just doesn't really have that much left to prove in his career, and I just don't see him being as hungry. I think Bilal Muhammad has probably got a bad taste in his mouth after the last one too, and, you know, he wanted to get that rematch, and it probably, you know, whether or not it was warranted, I'm not here to debate that, but, you know, it didn't happen, so now he's got this fight, but I still think this fight motivates him, and I think he's just going to be a little bit more hungry than Maia at this stage. trying to make a name for himself. So I think Bilal Muhammad will – I think he'll win by decision. I think he'll – yeah, I think he'll try to mix up his technique a little bit. He'll try to strike a little bit with Maya. He'll try to take Maya down, but avoid those exchanges where he could really end up, you know, in an anaconda choke or something crazy, or because Damian Maya is just terrifying on the ground. So, Bilal Muhammad, though, I think he's going to mix it up and find the win. I think he's going to win by unanimous decision.
Okay. Next up, we got Leon Edwards, 18-3, taking on the always entertaining Nate Diaz at 21-12. Leon Edwards, a -575. Nate Diaz at a +425. Leon Edwards, if I was made on the matchmaker in the UFC, if he wins this fight, his next fight would be for the belt. But coming to Keys, who do you got? Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz.
You know, I think Leon Edwards is gonna kick his ass. You know, it's gonna be pretty bad for Nate. I think it's gonna be pretty bad. And I think the reason why is because Nate Diaz is just like, I understand, like, he's a very game fighter. He's an extremely game fighter, but I just don't think he has as many tools in his tool belt as Leon Edwards has at this stage of the game. I feel like Leon Edwards has just been also sitting back and charging up. You know, he's always training and whatnot. You know, he's got a chip on, you know, he's got multiple chips on his shoulder from the way the last couple of years have gone. He was supposed to get all these big fights and people are ducking him, and, you know, the fights are falling through because of COVID, and then he can't get over the passport issues and all this other stuff and Darren Till, and I think Leon Edwards is going to be really fired up, and he's coming at Nate Diaz with a lot more weapons than Diaz has against him. And I'm pretty sure Edwards loves the spinning back fist. I see him doing some spinning back fist and a whole lot of ninja shit in this fight. And I think I see Edwards stopping Diaz, man. I think I see a natural stoppage here. No decision. I think, especially if this is a 5-round fight. I think it is a 5-round fight. I could be wrong. If it's a 3-round fight, I could see Edwards by decision. If it's a 5-round fight, I see Edwards by stoppage. And I think this would be the first time that Diaz gets stopped, you know, besides the doctor stoppage, because versus Masvidal it was a doctor stoppage. But actual stoppage, I see Edwards by actual TKO, you know, and the ref's going to – it's going to be that type of thing. I think Edwards is just super charged up, man. He's not going to let this one slip away.
Man, you know I'm a big Diaz fan, man, him and Nate. But I just think it's Leon's time, man. I think Leon has done everything he could possibly do to try to get a fight for the belt. People have been turning down fights with him. Like you said, COVID. Then he had the eye poke against Bilal, and that fight he was I thought he was winning that fight pretty handedly. Man, but Diaz, dog, Diaz is just – he can do a lot. Diaz can do a lot in the cage if people don't know. Diaz isn't scared to go to the ground. You know, he definitely willing to stand and punch with you. I don't know what Edwards' game plan is going to be, but I have never seen Edwards fight on the ground. So, that being said, oh, man. Damn, Keys. Oh, man.
Tough one,
eh? Oh, man. Man, because you know I love Nate, man. I'm going with Edwards, man. I think Edwards is the hungrier fighter. He knows what's on the line. Oh, man. I'm going Edwards, man. And it is a five round fight.
Okay, word. I was hoping so.
Leon Edwards doesn't expect Nate Diaz to survive five rounds. Oh man. I'm going with Edwards, man. I'm going with Edwards. I'm gonna go a majority decision. Nate survives, turns. Nate loses the first three rounds, and then he turns it on in the fourth and fifth round, but he comes up short. I'm going with Edwards, man. Unanimous decision, man. Damn, I hate picking against my boy Nate. But the crazy part is, Keys, you know I don't like doing this on DraftKings, but when we get to the co-main event and the main event, I think I'm taking both fighters in the co-main event to definitely be on my DraftKings. And you know I normally don't like that. I like for you to pick either one. But I think I'm going to go with both guys on my DraftKings. So we got Davison Figueiredo, flyweight champion, going against Brandon Moreno, who me and you thought won the first fight. Figueiredo is his favorite, -220 against Brandon's +180. Keys, who do you got?
You know, this one's one of those ones where it's like my heart versus my mind, the heart versus the brain. And, you know, this one doesn't take me too much time. I just feel like I've been in this position before predicting title fights, and it always ends up going, you know, with what my brain is saying. You know, it rarely goes with what my heart is saying. So when my heart says Moreno, but I think I like what you said a week or so ago. You said, you know, Figueiredo is going to be more prepared for this one. You know, it's not going to be a short notice fight. And I mean, in the same coin, it's also not going to be a short notice fight for Moreno, because if we remember, Moreno did fight like I want to say
less than 30 days, the previous card.
Yeah, I want to say they both fought on that same card. It was the same amount of notice for both of them, but at the same time, you know, I think in the striking, Moreno will still shine, and I still think he'll win rounds. But what I think Figueiredo might do here is, I think he'll look a little bit sharper in striking, and I think he'll resort back to his game plan for his Perez fight, and I think he'll look to take Moreno down early and try to slow his momentum down and possibly even look for an early submission. So if he doesn't get the submission in the first two rounds, I see him probably getting the submission in the third, if not fourth round.
Oh, man. See, it would be a lot different if Moreno had actually won this fight. But being that it was a draw and Figueiredo didn't lose the belt, I think if Moreno had won the fight, he would be the more confident fighter coming into this. But being that it was a draw, and Figueiredo feels that, you know, they said he was ill leading up to the fight and all that good stuff, and now he should be well and ready to go. I think he's going to be the hungrier fighter in this fight. So I think Figueiredo doesn't stand and bang with Moreno as much as he did in the first fight. I see him switching it up. I see him standing and banging, also taking Moreno down. Moreno really didn't get taken down in the first fight. I still think Figgy is the faster of the two, and normally in the flyweight division, speed kills. I'm going with Figueiredo, man, but I think it goes the distance again. And I think Figueiredo wins this one on a split decision. Moreno is going to be game, but the one thing we did talk about a few weeks ago is Moreno is going to have to bring something in this fight that he didn't show Figueiredo in the first fight. I don't think he really went for a lot of takedowns in the first fight, if my memory serves. Moreno really didn't go for a lot of takedowns. So Moreno has to have Figueroa in there thinking, can he do that? That's yet to be determined. I'm taking a champ, split decision, against a very game Brandon Moreno. That brings us to the main event. Israel Adesanya, the Stylebender, against Marvin Vettori. We got 20-1 going up against 17-4-1. The champ, minus 260 against plus 210 for Vettori. Stats are 3.95 significant strikes per minute for the champ, 4.14 strikes per minute for Vettori. Significant strike accuracy, we got the champ at 52.3. We got the challenger at 53.75. Takedown average and takedown accuracy, 2.22 and 53.66 for Vettori. Zeros for both of those for the champ. Then we got 0.28 submission attempts, sub average for Adesanya against 0.81 submission attempts for Vettori. Keith, main event. Who you got, bro?
So, oh, man, Marvin Vettori, I think, is the number three ranked middleweight. Okay, cool. So this one is another one that this one's not that difficult for me. I don't know. It hasn't been that difficult for me making these picks tonight. Maybe I'll have a clean sweep. But, you know, Israel Adesanya, it's okay. So I'll say this. I was watching their first fight, right? They posted the free fight on YouTube. You know, y'all know I love the free fights. I'm always watching them. So I watched the free fight. I think it was last night, actually. And what I noticed, because I was like, all right, let me check it out. Let me see, because I never saw it. And what I noticed in the first fight was this. Vettori looked so bad striking with Adesanya. Like, he looked so bad striking with Adesanya. And it was like style versus Adesanya. Like, watching that fight seriously reminded me of the way Whitaker fought Adesanya. Like, and if you go back, Lee, and watch that free fight, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. It was just like Vettori looked like he was so mad. Like, he looked like he was fighting so mad, and it was so personal for him. Like, it was the same thing as the Whitaker. He was swinging wildly. Vettori was swinging wildly. It wasn't even really making sense the way he was boxing. It was almost like he was just throwing everything at Adesanya, just trying to hope that, like, one big shot would land. And he just couldn't find Adesanya anywhere. Like, and I mean, I don't think I watched the entire fight. I think I watched, like, the entire first round and maybe the beginning of the second round. I didn't watch the entire three rounds because once I saw the way Vettori was looking, I was like, okay, I kind of get the idea. But apparently it went to a split decision, so I guess the judges thought it was close. You know, even though Vettori didn't look good at all versus Adesanya at that time, they asked them both in the interview on the ESPN, they said, you know, which one of you guys do you feel like has evolved more? And, you know, Adesanya, you know, the interviewer said that he felt like, you know, Vettori has evolved a lot since that fight. And then he asked Adesanya said he felt like he's evolved more than Vettori has evolved. And that's the point where I come to my prediction. I couldn't disagree with that more. I couldn't disagree with that any more than I actually do. I don't really see where Adesanya has evolved. I feel like he's pretty much the same fighter. I mean, his striking maybe has gotten better, but really, how much of an improvement is that realistically? I mean, I was saying that about Ngannou, but then we saw how Ngannou actually did add some wrestling. You know, he had a great takedown defense and wrestling transitions to his game. So that is a huge improvement for Ngannou. But you don't see Adesanya doing that kind of stuff. Like, you see him just keeping the fight on the feet and doing the same fights that he's been doing since he came into the UFC, frankly. I mean, yeah, his striking's probably gotten better, and he's more confident. He's a champ, but, like, I just don't see how he's really evolved. He just got dominated versus Blachowicz. And, you know, we saw him get exposed. And I think Vettori, you know, the fact that he's a guy who wrestles and, he's a wrestler and boxer, I think Vettori wins this fight, man. I really think Vittori's got this fight, man. I think it's time for Italy to have a world champion. I think that's where the fate is going. Vittori's going to do it. I just think he's the better fighter. I really do. I think overall he's the more complete fighter overall. And, you know, guess what? Not always the more, you know, the better fighter on paper wins. Not always the more complete fighter wins. But I just feel like after seeing the way Adesanya got exposed versus Mikovic, he had nothing to say on the mat. He had no answer for that. And yeah, Mikovic was a little bit bigger than him, but I just don't think that was all of it. I think it was also just that Adesanya is such a novice on the mat that he just really didn't even know how to move on the mat. Like, he just is not used to being in that position, you know, and I don't think he really trains wrestling that much, you know. Yeah, I feel like he would just keep training his striking. You know, he's in there training with Dan Hooker, and they're just boxing each other, and that's what both of them do. But you don't see those guys really going to the mat much. And I think that's the downfall for them. You know, Vettori looked crazy. I think Vittori's striking has gotten a lot better. I think he picks the shots now. I hope that he's not going to be in there swinging wildly, because if he does, you know, Adesanya is a king of counterpunching and could catch Vittori at any moment. So I hope he doesn't go in there swinging wildly like the last fight. But, you know, I don't think he will. I think Vittori, you know, what I saw from him versus Hermanson, his striking looked greatly improved. I thought Hermanson was a great striker, and Vittori had him looking like an amateur in there. He beat him up so bad, I was like, oh, my goodness. And he did it to him for 5 rounds, you know, and I think that's almost worse. The fact that he doesn't stop the fight and he just wants to keep beating on guys, I feel like that's almost worse, you know, for the longevity of these guys' careers. Vittori just wants to beat you up for 15 or 25 minutes. And I think him mixing up the takedowns and taking Adesanya down, mix that in with his improved boxing, I think he wins, man. And I think it's going to be – I think Vittori is going to win by unanimous decision. That's what I think. I think it's going to be unanimous decision in a – I see Adesanya probably getting 2 rounds, so that would be 50 to 47, I believe. I think that's a 50-47. Yeah, so I think it would be 3 50-47s unanimous decision for Vittori to be the first UFC world champion from the country of Italy.
Man. Key said his pick's been easy. Mine's been hard. Because I know Vittori, if he stick to the game plan that they're doing, that they're going over right now, which is what you said, you have to be well-rounded. You have to be well-rounded against Adesanya, because Adesanya isn't a well-rounded fighter. He's a, what we want to call, a one-trick pony right now. He's a counterpuncher. He's a striker. That's it. He don't take you down. He really don't do anything. He does throw mix in kicks with his game. Man, if Vittori could do that and be disciplined enough to do that, he could win this fight. But I'm going to say he's not. I think he gets caught with a counter shot, and he goes to the ground, and Adesanya rushes him, and he wins by TKO. On what we would look at on next Wednesday and say, if Vittori was patient, he would have won this fight. Just like we said when Blachowicz lost to Thiago Santos. If he was patient, he was going to win that fight. And then he became impatient and got knocked out. So I think the same thing we're going to talk about on next Wednesday about Vittori, about him. He should have stuck to his game plan, and he deviated from his game plan, and he got caught, and he loses via TKO. Am I confident in that pick? No, because if Vittori does what Key said he should do, he should win this fight easily. He should win this fight by unanimous decision with no questions or no bones about it if he does exactly what Key say. he has to mix in his takedown with his improved striking. But I just think he becomes impatient. Adesanya frustrates him in there, and Adesanya wins by TKO in the fourth round. And I think at the end of the night, I'll end up being more upset with Vettori than happy for Adesanya. Wow. Whew. But this is another fight where I'm going to take both guys in my DraftKings. I'm going to take both guys in the main event, both guys in the co-main event, and I think I'm going to take Terrence McKinney as my fifth fighter. So that's what I'm rolling with, man. So we talked about a lot tonight, folks. I gave you a recap of the Mayweather-Paul fight. Keith gave y'all an update on his Kevin Lee UFC 3 tournament win and the murderous role he had to go through. Appreciate that. We gave
didn't
y'all
you think that, didn't you think that was a crazy lineup of fighters?
Yeah, that was crazy. Can you imagine if he really had to do that?
That's what I'm saying. That's just the thought it gave me. If he would have beat those four guys four fights in a row in real life, he would be considered one of the greatest, I think. That you would have to say he's one of the GOATs. That to beat anybody having wins over all four of those guys is damn impressive. And I don't even think there's anybody in the game that has wins over all four of those guys.
That'll be a good Google question. But you know, we gave you our sleeper fighter tonight, which fighter that we're going to have our eyes on, and we just finished our predictions for this supercard. Any last words, Keys?
Nah, nothing. You know, it's my birthday on Saturday. I'm pretty excited about that. I'll be 25. Thank you all for listening. Maybe wish me a happy birthday on Twitter if you feel like it. And, yeah, just enjoy the rest of your week. Have a good weekend. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man, Saturday, me and wife hitting the road, driving back east. Hopefully Sunday we'll be in Virginia in my hometown. So wishing for safe travels. Happy to be doing something, you know, getting out the house. Hopefully I can catch the fight either on my phone. And I'm going to take my fire stick with me just in case. But everybody have a nice weekend. Check yourself. You know, I'm still practicing social distancing and wearing my mask when I'm out in public. If you get the vaccination, that's a personal choice. I say that every week. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. And as always, in closing, Lee Keys, real talk. We always end on a peace.